Music licensing secrets revealed. How to score your films and podcasts. So imagine that you're sitting in a dark theater, the anticipation building as the screen flickers to life, or perhaps you're at home with your earbuds, or you're driving or mowing the lawn, and you're going to dive into the next episode of your favorite gripping podcast. And now picture those experiences, but without the music. The chase scene lacks urgency. The emotional dialogue falls flat. That suspenseful cliffhanger just isn't. It's the music that breathes life into these kinds of moments, even if it's just the introduction of a podcast or something, transforming it from a mere sequence of events into powerful, unforgettable experience. So today, I'm pulling back the curtain on the crucial yet often overlooked world of music licensing and answering the question about how it empowers creators to evoke strong emotions and what do you need to know to harness the power of music for your own projects. So here we go. Welcome back to Legit Podcast Pro, where I, Gordon Firemark, the podcast lawyer, demystify the legal side of podcasting and media production. Today's episode is a deep dive into music licensing, a critical yet often misunderstood aspect of media creation. Whether you're scoring a documentary, crafting the perfect atmosphere for your podcast, or just using a snippet of your favorite song to make a point, understanding music licensing and copyright law really is crucial. It's the difference between enhancing your project and facing potential legal issues. So join me as we unravel the mysteries of music licensing together and ensure that your products and projects not only resonate with your audience, but also respect the rights of the creators behind the music. So we'll begin with just a basic understanding of what music licensing is. Essentially, this is the process of getting that permission slip you need, a license, to use someone else's music in your project. It's a legal framework designed to protect the rights of the music creators, the composers, songwriters, performers, and the owners of those recordings. When you license music, you're making a deal with those owners for the right to use that piece of music in a way that benefits your project and compensates those who created it. This way, artists are rewarded for their work, and it encourages the production of more music. The record labels and the publishers see their reward for putting capital behind the development and production of the music. And that's the kind of thing that keeps the music economy going and aspects of creativity moving through our system. The process involves understanding different types of licenses and knowing which ones apply to your specific use case. So let's start by breaking down these licenses and the way they work in films and podcasts. So first we have the synchronization or the sync license. Now, this is what's required when you're pairing recorded music with any other media, like film or video or podcast content, whether it's dialogue, a single voice spoken word, or a video podcast. The sync license allows you to use a song in conjunction with those other elements, creating what in copyright law we refer to as a derivative work. The fee for a sync license varies widely, depending on factors like the song's popularity, how much of it you're using, how widely you're distributing it, and those kinds of things. And just to be clear, a sync license deals only with the musical composition, the work of the songwriters, which is usually controlled and administered by the music publishing company. Next, we have the master use license. While the sync license covers the composition, that written music and lyrics, the master use license is needed to use a specific recording of the composition, recording or master recording. This means that you need permission from the record label or the recording's owner, if it's an unsigned indie band, for example, or Taylor Swift, if you're, you know, got that kind of power to own your own masters. Anyway, this dual requirement to license both composition and master recording ensures that both creators of the music themselves, the songwriters, and the owners of the recordings receive compensation to justify their work. Now, another kind of license that you will hear a lot about is the public performance license. Now, if your film or podcast is going to be played publicly, like on the internet, a public performance license is required. Usually, this requirement isn't directly going to fall on the creator as much as it does on the venue or the platforms that broadcast your work. But understanding this can help you navigate agreements with those platforms. Performance rights are administered by the organizations called public performance PROs, performing rights organizations, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC here in the U.S., SOCAN in Canada, PRS in England, and there's lots of them in other countries as well. So just be aware of that. I'm going to talk a little more about that in a second. And then there's the mechanical license. Traditionally, for making and distributing physical copies of a song, like a CD or vinyl, this kind of mechanical license can also apply to digital downloads. But in podcasts, the need for a mechanical license is less clear, since you're not just selling a copy of the music, but it's being incorporated into your other content. So understanding the role of this license is useful, but it probably doesn't really apply directly in a podcast context. We're talking about a broader kind of a license there. So historically, each of these different kinds of licenses would be negotiating with a different party. And that brings us to the question of how we go about obtaining the licenses we need. Step one is determining who are the rights holders, who owns the music. That could be the composer, the songwriter, the performer, or a record label. For pop music, rights are often split between the publisher of the composition and the record label for the recording. So you need to contact both of those entities to discuss the licenses you need. Now, websites like ASCAP, BMI, or CSAC, those PROs I mentioned, they can help you identify the music publishers. They have great repertoire search features that'll help you identify who the rights holders are. But I want to really encourage you to be careful to know that most of the time, the PROs are not who you want to negotiate with, at least not here in the U.S., because the public performance right is only one of the rights you actually need, and they only administer that right. And since you're going to be talking to the publisher or the songwriter anyway for the sync license, well, you could get the public performance right directly from the composer, songwriter, and or publisher, because these their rights are parallel. They run together with the rights of the PRO, so they can grant that license themselves. Now, on the record label side, you do need the master use license, and that will usually include the scope of the usage that you're going to do, how you're going to distribute it. So you don't need that mechanical license separately. Mechanical licenses are something that come up in the context of selling CDs or records or, you know, downloads, because there's a statutory rate for that, and it's based on calculating the number of units sold. And since you're doing a podcast, you're not really selling units, so it's a weird thing. So you don't really need a mechanical license. You're going to worry about that and take care of that as part of the master use license. So you're negotiating with the publisher and or the songwriter on the one side, and the record label and or the artist on the other. Now, once you've identified those rights holders, you need to negotiate the terms, things like the scope of the use, the duration, and how much you're going to pay as a license fee. Be clear about how you intend to use the music. The details will significantly impact the cost. For podcasts, you want to emphasize the expected reach and the non-commercial or educational nature of your use to potentially negotiate some better terms. And sometimes the rights holders will actually want to know the exact context, what the content of the episode that appears over or next to or adjacent to the music will be, so they can decide if it's, you know, in line and wholesome enough or whatever. And there are situations where you'd be surprised to find out that a particular artist who's associated with a very drug-addled 1960s vibe, his family, his estate never allows his music to be used in context that suggests that there's drug use or something. So be really, you know, thoughtful about that kind of thing. Anyway, after you've made your request, which is the first step, reach out to them, make a request. They will give you a quote, which usually will include those financial terms, the duration of the license, the scope of the rights granted, the territory, and more. Now, if those terms are acceptable, then you agree and you get a contract from them, you pay the fee, and off you go. Or if they're not acceptable and you think there's room, you go back and forth and negotiate, have a discussion about the terms, and arrive at some terms that you can both live with. Now, of course, that involves sometimes a pretty significant cost, maybe even a per episode royalty or a dollar amount based on the number of downloads or all those kinds of things. And that can be an accounting nightmare. But there are other more simple, straightforward options like royalty-free and creative commons music. And this can be a real great opportunity. Now, royalty-free, though, doesn't mean it doesn't come with some charge. It's not free of charge altogether. But rather, what it means is that you only pay once, and then you can use that music without paying any additional royalties tied to usage or something like that, or number of downloads. Now, Creative Commons music often does allow free use under specific conditions, like attribution, that it's non-commercial, that you have to allow your content to be shared and shared alike, just like you're using the music, and those kinds of things. So that may or may not be in line with what you want to do. So make sure you understand the Creative Commons rules before you decide to use that kind of a license. Now, there are other websites like Free Music Archive or Jamendo that offer tracks you can use, sometimes even for commercial purposes, as long as you adhere to the specific license terms that they have put out there. And there are also some royalty-free music services that operate on a subscription basis, where as long as you remain a paying subscriber, you'll have sort of all-you-can-eat access to the music in the library for a single monthly charge. And the licenses do stay in effect even if you later end your subscription. So if you make the first 10 episodes and using a particular piece of music or pieces of music from the library, and then you decide to have something custom commissioned or you're not going to use the library music anymore, you don't have to worry about going back and fixing it in those old episodes. They're grandfathered in. Now, my favorite of these is Epidemic Sound. I don't have an affiliate link for them. There's no quid pro quo here, but they do. They have a great library of great music, and it's where I get the music I use in my shows and live streams and in my online courses and all those kinds of things. But there's one more really solid approach to finding and licensing music for your projects that I want to bring up. It is commissioning original music, hiring a composer to create music specifically for your project. This can give you complete creative freedom and eliminate most of the licensing headaches. Now, when you're commissioning music, you need to discuss and agree upon a bunch of things. The scope of the use that you're going to make of it, the exclusivity. This is in addition to the creative assignment. The scope of the use, the exclusivity, whether you're going to own the rights to the music outright or it's just going to be a license to use it. This is a way to get customized, unique soundtrack or score, but it can involve a bit more work on the front end because it calls for a clear contract that outlines the rights and the responsibilities of the parties, the fees, the royalty structures, renewals, those kinds of things. Now, let me share a few best practices when you're using licensed music. First off, always, always, always get your music license in writing. Whether you're using existing music or commissioning a new work, make sure every agreement is documented, and that'll protect both all the parties, and it clarifies the terms of use. And if you're using royalty-free or subscription music, make sure you download and keep those license terms on file for future reference. Also, you should understand the scope of the license. Be clear on where and how you're allowed to use the music and what the limitations might be. Does the license cover global distribution? Is it limited to a certain number of episodes or a specific time frame? One issue that I've seen bite creators more than once is purchasing a royalty-free music track, thinking it was just, you know, $35 and I'm done, and it was free to use over and over, only to later discover that the fee that was paid was for single-use rights. Bottom line, read these license terms really carefully, ask questions if you're not clear on what's covered, and make sure you're getting what you think you're getting. Thirdly, plan for the future. Consider your future needs. Some licenses will include up to a certain number of downloads or a certain number of episodes or something like that. And so if your podcast grows, you don't want to be stuck in a situation where you then have to go renegotiate your licenses now that you're a big success because the licensors may sort of see you coming. So it's often wise to secure rights that are a little broader, a little larger than what your current needs are, so you can have room for that kind of a growth. Now, I also want to share with you a few common mistakes that you can avoid. First off, don't assume that free means free for all. Even when it's Creative Commons or royalty-free music, there are restrictions that may apply, so you always have to check those license details. Number two, forgetting to give proper credit. Most licenses, especially the Creative Commons, do require that you give proper attribution. Make sure you credit those artists as specified by the license, or you could find yourself on the wrong side of a copyright infringement lawsuit because you didn't abide by those terms. There's actually a recent case dealing with a photograph that was licensed under a particular kind of a Creative Commons license, as long as they gave credit to the photographer. And when a newspaper used the photo and didn't do the proper credit, he sued and won. The same can happen in the music arena. Now, number three of these pitfalls to avoid is underestimating the importance of licensing altogether. If you use music without the proper license, you could have real legal issues. You might get a DMCA takedown notice. There can be lots of money damage awards, as much as $150,000 for every use in question. And there's always the bad PR and the embarrassment of having to pull down and re-edit or whatever an episode. And if you have sponsors and you get an episode taken down, well, now your sponsors have paid you to be in an episode that's no longer available. So you have to either do a make good or give them their money back, or you may be in breach of contract. So it really does make sense to prioritize getting the right licenses in place for your project. Music adds immeasurable value to your creative project, and navigating music licensing really is critical to using it effectively and ethically. Here we've covered the essentials, from understanding different licenses to practical steps for securing the music that you need. But remember, respecting music rights not only keeps you on the right side of the law, but it also supports the artists and the creators who make our projects shine. So I want to say thank you for tuning in to this episode of Legit Podcast Pro. And if today's episode struck a chord with you, see what I did there? Struck a chord. Consider joining in my upcoming free workshop, Business and Legal Fundamentals for Podcast Growth and Profit. It's a deep dive into all the legal and business knowledge you need to avoid big mistakes and position your podcast for maximum success. Visit event.podcastlaw.net to learn more and register. And if you found today's discussion helpful and informative, please like, subscribe, share, tell a friend, shout from the rooftops about Legit Podcast Pro, tell your network, and let's get some more folks paying attention to this important information. And until next time, I'll just invite you to keep creating, keep innovating, and always, always, always stay legal. Thanks for being with me. I'm Gordon Firemark, the podcast lawyer, and I'll see you again really soon on Legit Podcast Pro.